You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Now we've got a story about an unlikely pairing. Not of people, but of institutions. The National Park Service and the San Francisco Public Library are mixing it up this summer, bringing books to the bluffs and trees to the branches. How does that work? We sent KALW's Carrie Spivak to find out.
In early June, I was walking a trail in Land's End, in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, when I came upon a children's book.
The Fox Wish by Kimiko Amon.
Each page was a mounted panel installed just a few feet away from the next, like storytime breadcrumbs.
I have to go, I told him.
It was a delightful story about a fox who steals a little girl's jump rope. But what's a book doing in the national park? Well, did you ever hear opposites attract? To find out more, I talked to Michelle G from the Golden Gate National Rec Area. She tells me that last year, when the National Park Service celebrated its centennial, they decided to really focus on a problem they'd been working on for years.
We have a certain population that loves their national parks, visits regularly, but that doesn't reflect the diversity of our nation or the diversity of the Bay Area. Lower income or people of color aren't necessarily being drawn to the national parks and don't have the access. They both don't know about it, don't know it exists, but also don't necessarily feel that they're welcome to come.
So the parks looked for a partner to help, someone who shared their mission for inclusivity, education, and adventure. If they had a dating profile, it might be outdoorsy conservationist seeks warm extrovert with shared values. Because successful partnerships are based on having something in common, right?
Park rangers are very much into the history and story. And they love sharing what they know about the world. So that's something that librarians and our library staff love to do as well.
That's Christy Estrovitz of the San Francisco Public Library. She runs Summer Stride, bringing free programs like tinkering workshops and drag queen story hour to your local branch. Last summer, she and Michelle G worked together to bring library patrons to the national parks and a love of nature into the libraries. G said there were all kinds of events.
Trailheads and programming and shuttles and just everything you could think under the sun. So we were trying to bring the libraries to the park as much as the park was going to the libraries.
I love libraries and I love national parks. But libraries are indoor places for reading books, right? And the parks are outdoor places for exploring nature. But last year, this partnership brought almost 600 new visitors to the national parks on free shuttles from library branches. And it broke library records for Summer Stride participation and for reading. So I hop on one of the free shuttles to the parks, starting at the Visitation Valley Branch Library. It's as far from Land's End Park as you can get inside city limits. This trip would take an hour and a half on Muni, but this shuttle will get us there in 30 minutes.
Oh, a hang glider. You guys are hang gliders.
As the bus is about to pass Fort Funston, the driver points out hang gliders swooping above the tree line.
Do you see it?
Oh,
right,
yeah.
It's a beautiful sunny day with strong wind. We lose sight of the hang gliders as we turn onto the Great Highway.
Lucky you might see some whales or dolphins.
Suddenly, the huge bus windows fill with a view of the iconic California coast. Powerful waves crash on wide open beach. I knew this view was coming as we made the turn, but it's still impressive. 66-year-old Hui Li is sitting next to me and starts to exclaim loudly in Chinese. She's here with her grandchildren and her daughter, Grace, who tells me this is her mother's first time seeing the California coast.
My mom said the ocean is beautiful. She's so excited.
The family has already shared seeing its first hang gliders and its first ocean views, and they haven't gotten off the bus yet. Each Saturday, park rangers take library patrons from different branches to local national parks. Last year, so many people showed up for the trips that they needed extra buses to meet demand.
Enjoy.
When we arrive at Land's End, we have 3 hours to go off on our own. But most of the 50 library patrons join guided tours about the Sutro Baths or the native Ohlone people. Grace Lee and her mom take photos with the kids in front of the ocean. I offer to take a picture of them all together.
Ready? Everybody look at me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Grace works as an office assistant during the week. Today, her husband is working at Safeway. She says she tries to take the kids out into nature every Saturday.
But I don't drive. And, you know, sometimes if you go far away, I need to drive.
Without the shuttle coming from the library, they probably wouldn't visit a place like Land's End. Nearby, another mom, Bijou, is reading to her three young children from the book I was mystified by weeks ago.
I will let my drum roll at the park. Where are you going? Rookie us.
The book is here to inspire families to go on a reading adventure.
Okay, next one.
Okay.
At the bottom of the pages are prompts to encourage Bijou and her kids to connect with the outdoors, to look around, and to listen to the sounds of the park. As we board the bus, the driver notices how tired everyone looks. A trip like this isn't all about reading, so why does this work for the library? Well, Christy Estrovitz tells me, without meaningful learning opportunities, summer becomes a time of risk for students, especially those from low-income households.
If they're not actively engaged in a high-quality, high-engagement summer camp or summer learning program, they actually can go back like 2 months of academic progress. That happens again the next summer, that's 4 months behind and so forth. So it really does make a difference on their academic achievement during their school years, but also in life.
Libraries address this so-called summer slide by offering enrichment programs at their branches. But with the Parks Partnership, the San Francisco program literally breaks boundaries.
The National Park Service opened up a new kind of twist on how we think of summer learning. It's not within the walls of the library. It happens all around our community. I think that's something we hadn't really considered.
But it must start at the library, says Michelle G. of the National Parks.
So they feel safe there. They know what to expect. And then you partner that with the Park Service. They're like, oh, well, if the library, if my librarian says it's cool to go there, I'm going to go there. And so they feel much more comfortable getting on that bus and going and trying something new.
Last summer, 18,000 people participated in Summer Stride. That was more than ever in the library's history. And this year, there's been a 40% increase over that. And the program doesn't end until late August. This was supposed to be a one-time partnership between the parks and the library, a summer fling to celebrate the park's centennial last year. But I asked Michelle G., did this fling turn into something more?
The Public Library and the National Park Service fell in love one summer, and it never ended.
I know, it's kind of like that. We fell in love with each other, and we're like, no, we don't want it to end. Let's keep it going.
The library and the parks are both century-old institutions. If they can evolve and keep the love going, they can provide way more services for San Franciscans. I'm Carrie Spivak for Cross Currents.